Well, good morning. It's a blessing for us to be here this morning. I want to introduce my wife, Cynthia, my bride of 33 years this December. She is my best friend, partner in ministry, and she goes with me wherever I go. And I thank God that she's here with me today to watch this miracle that God is doing today. Because when you hear my testimony, for me to be standing up here before you, it is nothing short of a miracle. Because I am the least likely person, candidate, to be standing up here speaking to you. And as I tell you a little bit of my testimony, you will see why. I was born in Tehran, Iran. That right there, for me to be here this morning, is a miracle. And I migrated to America in 1973. When I first got there and wanted to go to college, in 1973, not many people had heard in America where Iran was. So they would ask me, are you Arab? And you know that Persian pride would come out of me and say, don't call me Arab. I'm Persian. Well, something happened in 1979 that changed all that. We had the hostage crisis. After that, when people mistaken me for Arab, I didn't make an argument out of it. Well, also during that time, I was going to college there. And just for the mere fact that I was from Iran, I was crossing the campus. And I just got the daylights beat out of me. So I was in hiding, and I was incognito as an Arab. And I was safe as an Arab until September 11, 2001. Well, one of those names that will pop up on TV was so close to mine, almost a few syllables off. At that point, we lived in Arizona. So when people thought I was a Mexican, I said, si, señor. Gloria a Dios. I learned a few words in Spanish. I was safe as a Mexican until recently. We started having problems on the border because we're close in Arizona, you know. So now I'm kind of like, you got to help me, Lord. What else can I be here? I'm one of those that can go, you know, people are not sure. Are you Italian? Are you Greek? Are you, what are you? I guess I'm just a wretched mix of many different things. I don't know. So let us pray before we start. Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. Because it's through the power of your Holy Spirit, God, and because of your grace that we are even here today. So I pray, God, that you would take my words, the mere words of a man, and you would anoint it. Because unless you anoint my words, Lord, they're just going to be making noise, clanging cymbals. But if you anoint my words, that I will speak deep from within my spirit, where your Holy Spirit resides, it's going to bless somebody. And I pray today would be the day that you would bless even that one individual that you have brought here today to hear my testimony. We just give you glory for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said earlier, I was born in Iran and went to America in 1973. And growing up, all we could think about was go to America. Boy, if he went to America, land of opportunity, everything would be great. So that's all I could ever think about. So when I got to America, it was a little different because growing up in Iran, all we were watching was movies like Elvis Presley and John Wayne. I thought everybody walked around with guns in their holsters and, you know, they had all these women around them. But it was different when I got there because it was the reality was totally different there. Well, I started to, went to high school there and graduated high school, and I met my wife right after high school was over. I was a second year college. I met my wife, and we knew it was love at first sight. Right off the bat, I knew that was God's divine timing. It's one of those milestones in your life that you remember forever. And that changed my life forever. See, I was a Muslim at the time. She was a Mormon. God had brought a Muslim and a Mormon together. We were the original M&M couple, by the way. We had so much in common because even though we came from two different worlds, there was a lot of similarities between Muslims and Mormons. And, you know, we started comparing things. And first of all, I told her when we get married, I don't want religion in our house because I had seen so much growing up as a Muslim child that just did not line up. I would see one thing, and then behind closed doors, I would see another thing. And it always left me with more questions than there was answers. I always had more questions because I would ask, how could a God, my God, ask me to do such things? How could this be? This doesn't make any sense. I was very turned off by religion. So I said, no religion in our house. Well, after graduating college, I started delivering pizzas for a delivery company, Domino's Pizza. Back then they were growing. And I had graduated with computer science in the late 70s. There was no jobs. The computers weren't what they are today. So I would just got a job delivering pizzas and just to pay the bills. And then I grew in the ranks and became a franchisee. We moved to Chicago area to start our first store. When I came to America, I was very success-driven. I thought my goal was to become successful, become rich. I didn't want to have anything to do with religion. I just wanted to become rich and famous. Well, when we opened up our first store, success came real fast. Boy, it started. Bam. Success came so fast that we started opening many other stores. And the things that I had set as goals for myself for a long range of 10, 20 years had come to pass in 2 years. Well, now I've left this emptiness in me. What I thought was going to make me happy. The more we got, the emptier I felt. So now I started getting into all kinds of stuff. Drinking, drugs, anything. Just to fill that void in my heart. Well, it had come to a point where my wife and I, we were about to get a divorce. We were about to just call it quits. One day my wife said, I've been going to this church. Would you like to go? And I said, no. I was born a Muslim. I'm going to die a Muslim. Well, she said, would you mind if I go? She went. And I started seeing changes in her. And I really liked what was happening. But yet, my pride wouldn't allow me to say, I want to go. She would ask me from time to time, would you want to go? And I'd say no. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, I hope you don't quit asking me because one of these days I'm going to say yes. Well, one of these days came to pass. She asked me and I said, okay, I'll go. I walked into this church, much like this one. Very loving, spirit-filled, Assembly of God church. They had drums, they had keyboards. I just loved it because to me, I didn't know church could be like that. I thought you'd go in there and what I was thought about it was very somber. But I really liked what I saw, what I felt. I wanted what these people had. I kept going back. I kept going back. Something was drawing me back to that place. One day, I said, Lord, the struggle between my head and my heart was getting way too much. My heart was saying one thing, my head was saying another thing. But my head was screaming, no, 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 this doesn't make any sense. This is not what you used to, this is not what you grew up in. But yet my heart was screaming, go, go, go. And the struggle had become so much, I said, I have to know today you're real. Because this is getting too much for me. Well, that day, they gave a message in tongues. They did that back then, believe it or not. And up to this point, when tongues would be spoken, I treated it with arm's length because I didn't know quite what was happening, yet I sensed there was something there. Therefore, I just said, okay. That day they gave a message in tongues, and interpretation came. I heard it in my native language. Saeed, you'd ask if I was real. I'm real. Come forward, and I'll show you more. Well, up to this point, I wanted to answer that call several times, but it was as though my legs were chained to the pew. Some weight was upon me. But that day, there was no chains, no weight, no demon in hell was going to hold me back. I ran to the altar. I said, I want to meet this Jesus. They said, okay, repeat this prayer after me. I repeated the prayer. They said, okay, great, you're saved. I said, well, what do I have to do? They said, nothing. See, concept of grace was foreign to me. What do I need to do now? Nothing. I said, okay, well, I guess it didn't work. I tried it. It didn't work. I went home. I realized something had happened. Because after that, when I went to pick up an alcoholic drink, I realized what I was doing. I was questioning. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Something is not right. When I would get high, I would be miserable. Something had changed. And the change started to slowly happen. Well, the real change came when pastor said, we're going to teach on baptism of the Holy Spirit for 6 weeks. And after that, we're going to give you an invitation to come up, receive baptism of the Holy Spirit. After the first day, I thought, why do I need to wait 5 more weeks? But I waited. After the 6 weeks was over, they said, come on up front. I was again the first one. I ran to the altar. What do I need to do? Okay, brother, we're going to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on you. This is what you're going to feel like. You're going to feel like babbling. So, okay, I can babble. They lay hands on me. I started babbling. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You got it. I go, I got what? You got the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's it? 6 weeks I've been sitting there listening to power. That's all I get. That's all the power. I feel no power. I was thinking everything literally. I said, okay, I guess I tried it. It didn't work. I went home. First time I picked up my Bible, I realized something had happened. I had such a hard time reading the Bible up to this point. I would have to read the same passage over and over and over to understand it. First time I picked up my Bible, it was as though somebody had taken it and translated it for me. I could understand it for the first time. Now, I became like a sponge. I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. Well, the things of the business now, by this time we had several stores. We were, you know, very successful. The things of the business started to just look dim to me. I didn't care much about it. And I wanted the things of God more and more. Through a process of a few years, I kept receiving these prophecies. God's calling me in the ministry. God's calling me in the ministry. God's calling. And I'm like, I don't think so. That's for somebody else. I don't think so. I mean, it happened so many times that one group of people came at my church and said, we're going to India. Thank you, brother. Thank you. God bless you. Group of people came and said, we're going to India. And we feel that God wants you to go to India with us. I said, really? Let me pray about it. What I meant to say was, give me some time so I can tell you no later. Because I had no intention of going. After all, I'm a businessman. You're a priest. I'm not a priest. You're a businessman. I'm a businessman. You go. I'll support you. I told them no. Well, they came and asked me again a year later. The first time they asked me, we had all these businesses. We were developing areas. We had so much. My calendar was so full. I had all kinds of excuses to give. Second time they asked me, by this time, we had sold all of our stores. We had shut down many different things. My calendar was so clear. I even had no calendar. I had no excuses to give. I said, okay, I'll go. I went to that trip in India. We were there maybe 30 minutes. We walked into this lady's house. This lady has never laid eyes on me. The moment she looked at me, she started going, ah! I'm like, what was happening? She said, oh, she's prophesying over you in tongues. They interpreted for me. They said, she's saying, you've run away from God long enough. He wants you and your whole family. It's time. It's time. It's time. At that point, I said, okay, God, you got my attention now. You can have me if you want me. I give you myself. But I'm not going to go look for it. It has to come look for me. Because I don't want this. But if you want it for me, I'll do it, God. Well, some time went by. Now we had sold our businesses. God had made it very clear to sell your businesses, and I'm going to move you. This was 1994. We sold our businesses. For after that happened, for 2.5 years, it was nothing but silence. God, you said sell your businesses. We did. Did I hear you wrong, God? No. You said you were moving us, right, God? Yes. When are we going to move? Silence. Where are we going to move to? Silence. So for 2.5 years of silence, what am I going to do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? Started praying. What a novel idea, huh? We started praying. And it was at the beginning of this time, I think this is important, I'm going to tell about this one too. At the beginning of this time, I was part of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association. I was the president of a chapter. And one of our friends had come and brought this video about Toronto Blessing. Have you heard about that, Toronto Blessing? Not many. One or two. It was where God's move had happened in such an amazing way, but there was a lot of strange things going on too. And I want to address that. I was watching this video, and on this video, there was a lot of people, a lot of things were happening. People were falling out. Some were laughing. Some were barking like dogs. Some were roaring like lions. And there was not just one or two, there was hundreds. I thought, wow, that's some crazy stuff. On the way back, my friend said, we need to go to Toronto. I said, are you kidding me? I'm not going to be part of that foolishness. No way. There's no way I'm going to go. I started having dreams for about 2 weeks. All I could see in my dream was Toronto, Toronto, Toronto. Like those ticker tapes that goes by, Toronto, Toronto, Toronto. I woke up one day, I told my wife, I can't stop dreaming about Toronto. You think God's calling me to go to Toronto? She said, oh, that's crazy. Don't. Go talk to Pastor. I went to talk to Pastor. I said, Pastor, this is what's happening to me. Tell me not to go to Toronto. He said, oh, I can't tell you that. It sounds to me like God wants you to go to Toronto. But I went to Toronto. To make a long story short, the first night we were there, amazing worship. It was in a warehouse, a hangar. So it was huge. Amazing worship. Wonderful time of worship. Just phenomenal. At the end of it, they said, we have these duct tapes that are on the ground. Those of you who want prayer for, come stand in front of duct tapes and we pray for. As people were praying for people that had come up, this stuff was happening that I saw on the video. Laughing, barking, roaring. And I said, that can't be from God. That can't be from God. That can't be from God. There's no way that I'm going to do that. That can't be from God. So I did not do anything. I was the judge, the jury, the hangman, all the same that night. I did not participate. The next day we went to Niagara Falls. And it was sunny outside. And I told my friend, I said, I don't know what's going on. I feel this dark cloud around me. All I want to do is cry. I don't know why. We went that night back to the service. And it was during the worship time. The Spirit of God came over me. And I started crying from the depth of my soul. I said, God, forgive me for judging those people. If they were in the flesh, that's between them and you. But you know why I'm here. If you're here, I don't want to miss what you have, God. Before I knew it, I'm laying on the floor. That never happened to me before. Now I realize I'm on the floor. I'm trying to get up. There's no way I can get up. So then I realized this was God. See, nobody lay hands on me. Because up to this point, when people would come and try to lay hands on me, I was like a football player. You are not pushing me down. I am not going to go down. So nobody lay hands on me. So I knew it was real. It was God. I'm laying there. After I finally said, okay, God, you have my attention. The Lord started to talk to me. It was one-on-one conversation between me and God. And I said, why do you come up here, son? I said, Lord, I'm so tired of this life. There's got to be more to life than this. I started mentioning all the things that were bothering me. And I could see the hand of God, as I clear I can see you. I could see the hand of God reaching like this inside of me. And that thing that I was mentioning that was bothering me, throw it away. One by one, one by one. After he did all that, I'm laying there like I'm floating. This was a process of 3 hours. I said, God, okay, you did all that for me. What do you want from me? This is what he told me. He said, all I want you to do is I want you to lay there and I want you to experience my love. Let me love you. Because if you experience my love, you will never be the same. I could see like liquid love coming from heaven. Like a rays of sunshine coming down. Filling me up. I was floating. I thought I'd gone to heaven. I didn't want to come back. I felt the tap of the Lord on my shoulder said, this is great what you're experiencing here. But I want to tell you something. If you keep it to yourself, you're going to lose it. But if you go back and give it away, I have more for you. I was never the same after that trip. I went back and all. I became this gentle guy. Up to this point, I was very harsh. There was this outer shell on me. Nobody could penetrate and crack. I never cried before because I was told by my father, men don't cry. But after that, I would cry. I'd cry at the drop of a dime now. God changed something in me. Now, after I came back, things started to happen. Remember, I said we had sold our businesses. We couldn't open another business. We knew God was moving us. So we got jobs. My wife and I got a job where I bought all my suits. I was their best customer. And she got a job a few doors down where she got all the home goods. She was their best customer. We were working in the mall just to keep busy. And it was during that time, and Christmas, December of 1996, where Phoenix, Arizona kept popping up. See, we had originally thought we were going to Florida, but God made clear it wasn't there. Phoenix, Arizona. I'd go to breakfast, Phoenix, Arizona. I'd go there, open the paper, Phoenix, Phoenix, Phoenix. So I came home and told my wife, this Phoenix keeps popping up. Do you think God calls us to go to Phoenix? She said, what's in Phoenix? There's nothing there except sand and snakes. I said, I don't know. Well, it so happened that that Sunday we found out our best friend at the time had got a job transfer and he was moving to Phoenix, Arizona. So we had a reason now to go visit Phoenix, Arizona. And I prayed, God, if this is the place you're taking us, confirm it through my wife. I didn't tell her I was praying that. When we went there down to visit, of course, she loved everything about it. And somebody had told us, when you go down there, make sure you visit Tommy Barnett's church. We walked into that church. It's like a stadium, three levels. We walked in the second floor. The Spirit of God hit us both. We started crying. It was amazing. We sat there the whole time and wept through the service. We went back. God started doing things and things started to move. And within a couple of months, we had done everything. And we are moving to Phoenix, Arizona. People are saying, why are you going to Phoenix, Arizona? I don't know. I feel God's calling us to go to Phoenix, Arizona. What's out there? I don't know. Well, we went there. We got involved right away in the ministry, volunteering as deacons, etc., etc. And something happened. And I'm making a very long story short. We've been involved now in the ministry, volunteering for many years. In 2001, I got a call from associate pastor. Said, Pastor, I want you to go have lunch. I said, okay, sure. We went to have lunch. And during this time, associate pastor said, there's a position that have come open, and Pastor Barnett would like for you to see if you are interested in the position. You know, there are certain things that you know is from God. I said, okay, I don't have to pray about this. I know God. I've been waiting for something. I didn't know what. I said, okay, I'll do it. He said, you'll hear from Pastor Bonnet in 2 weeks. His office. 2 weeks went by. 4 weeks went by. 6 weeks. 8 weeks went by. I'm like, whoa, what happened? Maybe they found out something about me. I didn't even know about myself. They changed their mind or something. A year prior to that, one of our pastors had come up to me and said, I want you to go Uganda with me. And I said, tickets are too expensive. They were $4,000. I didn't want to go. And I said, if you get the tickets under $2,000, I'll go. Well, now, while I'm waiting for this phone call to come, a friend, the pastor, comes up and says, we're going to Uganda next week. I said, no. He said, I got the tickets. They were $1,800. The Lord spoke to me. He says, go take care of my business. I'll take care of yours. So I went to Uganda with them reluctantly. While I was there, the first phone call I made home, my wife said, oh, you just got a call from Pastor Barnett's office. The day you come back, you have an interview with him. I had to go to Uganda for my phone call to come in. My natural tendency was, I'm waiting for my phone call. I am going to go into ministry. Folks, a lot of times we're waiting for what we call ministry, and we miss what God puts in front of us to go minister because we got our eyes focused on what we think is ministry. Sometimes we step over the people that God puts in front of us to get to the ministry. Well, when I came back, I started, not officially. They said we would, start you on a certain date. And I'm going to tell you the date is very important. I was supposed to start on Monday, 11th of September. 10th of September. Well, something happened and I couldn't make it that day. And I called and I said, can I start the next day? My first official day at Phoenix First Assembly as a prayer pastor was September 11, 2001. I walked into that office thinking, God, surely you have made a mistake here. I heard you wrong. This cannot be real because what happened today? I was so scared. There are certain times in our life that are milestones that we remember forever. That was a milestone for me that day. I heard a preacher, which was a messianic rabbi, not long after that, give a message on Jeremiah 29:11. We all know that scripture by heart. I know the plans I have for you, give you hope in the future. And he focused on the word future. He said in Hebrew that word is acharit. Expected end. And I've held on to that scripture. And these milestones that happen in our lives are one step we get closer to our expected end. I've been to Korea 3 times now. Each time, I felt when I left there, I was one step closer to my acharit. This is my third trip to Israel. I know this is a milestone, 12-12-12. One step closer to that acharit. It doesn't make any sense. Lord, me, an ex-Muslim, married to an ex-Mormon, born in Iran, to pray in Israel, this time? Wow. I learned a while back there's 3 ingredients that is great combination that makes perfect combination for a miracle. Right place, the right time, and the right person. Right place. You have to be in the right place. It has to be the right time. And you have to be the right person. That's why I started asking God, he wanted me to go to Israel at this time? This time? The war that just happened? We had this trip planned for a while, but are you sure, God, this is the right time? This sure doesn't look to me in the natural as the right time. Certainly doesn't look like the right place. Israel for Iranian? Are you sure, God? Sure you got the right person? You sure you got the right person? Because I don't think it's the right time or the right place. But I said, okay, God, out of obedience, I'll do it. Well, I asked the same question in September 11, 2001. Lord, are you sure you brought me in the right place? Phoenix, Arizona? Are you sure this is the right time? September 11? Are you sure I'm the right person? In 2002, Pastor Barnett preached a message. Go to the mountain and pray. Ask God what He has for your life, because when you do, you will give your life for it. I was up on the mountain praying. I said, God, what have you brought me up here for? He said, I brought you here to help your pastor with his vision, 30-year vision of a prayer chapel. So I went down the mountain. I said, Pastor, I feel God spoke to me what my purpose is. I'm here to help you with your vision. I was waiting for him to tell me what to do. He said, oh, great. Go back up there and ask God how He wants you to do it. Because if He spoke to you, He'll give you how to do it. So I went back up there. I said, God, my pastor said, come talk to you. What do you want me to do? The Lord said, start with what you have. Can we see that first slide? Just start with what you have. So what do I have, God? This is the site, empty lot, from 1987 to 2002. I was on top of the mountain. The Lord said, start with what you have. I said, what do I have, God? He said, you have a tent. Next one. He said, I want you to bring that tent. This is how our prayer pavilion started, with the broken down tent and some chairs. We brought some chairs up and that tent, and we just started prayer walking. See, if the vision's from God, you don't have to figure it out. If you're the right person, God will wait for the right time. See, it was the right place. I was the right person, but it wasn't the right time yet. So, the next one. So, in 2003, the Lord gave the idea to someone to come up with the first $1 million for the prayer pavilion. Actually, the way the idea came up was, the Lord said, pick up some rocks from the mountain. We picked up 2,500 rocks and took them down the mountain. Plenty of rocks at the mountain. Start with what you have. There was a lot of rocks. And we took the rocks and put on there Isaiah 56:7. I know you know what that scripture is, because it's right there when I walked in the door. Isaiah 56:7. I said, God, I know I'm in the right place. He said, I will call my people to come to my holy mountain. I will establish my house of prayer. My house of prayer for all nations. We put that scriptures on those rocks. 2,500 of them, put them out, and people came and got them. That was the beginning of our prayer chapel. Start with what you have. Next slide. It opened up in 2007. But from 2002 to 2007, for 5 years, all we had was a broken down tent. We walked around and we prayed around that tent, believing that God, in the right time, was going to establish His house of prayer. And since 2007, we have seen over 1,600 cancer people with stage 4 cancer healed of cancer. We have a prayer network now of over 110,000 people around the world that are connected to the internet. They're praying around the globe. Start with what you have in your hand. Would I have even thought about something like this in my own understanding? No. Because if I had looked to myself and said, God, I don't have anything to give you. Who am I? I'm fearful. This doesn't make any sense. Most of the things that God speaks to us in the natural doesn't make any sense. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Psalms 107:20 said, "He sent his word and he healed them." One word is all it takes. The right word. If you hear the right word at the right moment, and you're in the right place, and that word is for you, you're the right person, that's all it's going to take. What is that word that God needs to speak in your ear today? What is it? See, God speaks to us through his word. God speaks to us to every circumstance if we have that connection with his Holy Spirit. And he uses ordinary situations. See, Elijah was looking for thunder and lightning on the mountain. He was looking for earthquakes. And it says the Lord was not in it. It came and went. The Lord was not in it. But then it says he spoke in a whisper. Quiet whisper. God does that to us all the time. I had an experience in 2010 that changed my life forever. January of 2010. I was sitting in the steam room after I work out. And they had fixed it. It was working so well. The steam was so thick. There was like a fog. And I said, "God, this is like a fog." He said, "Yes, sit down. I want to talk to you in my fog. You're in my fog." They started showing me what fog was. "I want to show you the face of God. I want you to experience the fire of God. I want you to taste the flavor of God. I want you to feel the finger of God. I want to show you that I'm going to hide you, cover you, hide you, teach you, lead you in my fog." Then he showed me what fog was. Favor of God. He said, "From now on, I want you to know that you are going to live in my fog, in my favor." The scripture that he gave me right off the bat was Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in stature and wisdom and favor with God and man. Well, that night when I went home, my wife said, "Did the Lord show you anything?" Because she knows that's my time, that's where I connect with God when I shut down. I said, "Oh, did he ever?" When I was trying to lay down that night, the Lord started talking to me. "I want to show you the ABCs of the favor of God. A through Z." Boy, within a few minutes, he gave me A through Z, and I started writing it down on every piece of paper, anything I could find. Ask, believe, confess, declare, expect the favor of God. There's the first seven. I got it all the way down to Z. Ask, believe, confess, declare, and expect. Folks, let me tell you, since then, I have not, my wife and I, we have not come outside of that fog. The things that are happening, the testimonies that are coming out of this favor of God. And then he gave me the idea to make these bands that says, "Living in the Fog, Favor of God, Luke 2:52, which we brought one for each one of you. There's no power in the band. It's just a reminder of people to ask, believe, confess, declare, and expect. And let me tell you, we get so many testimony of people and how they are living in the favor of God. It is amazing. For me to stand before you today is nothing but favor of God. I wasn't scheduled to come here today. But I happened to be in the right place at the right time. And God decided I'm the right person. Somebody else was scheduled to come here. Far greater than me. Far greater. Brother Trask, which is a legend in Assembly of God. This is nothing short of the favor of God for me to stand before you. And I want to just encourage you today. That same favor that God has upon myself and my wife is available to you. All you have to do is ask, believe, confess, declare, and expect. And all the other alphabet, which I have. I don't have many of these. I brought whatever we had. There's about 30 of them that I would give to you. The rest of you can make. There's a bookmark that has the A through Z on the back of it, which God gave idea to write a book about it, which I brought Pastor a copy of the book. That same favor is available to you. I'm nothing special, but I am in the eyes of God. You're special in the eyes of God. There is something that would not get done the way God wants to get done unless He uses you to do it. Special assignment just for you. Folks, in the natural, I shouldn't be here today. Everything is against me in the natural. My name for one thing. Place where I was born, another thing. But God said, no, I'm going to, in spite of all that, I'm going to use your name. I'm going to use where you were born. Because at the right time, in the right place, I'm going to use it to show my glory and my power through you. I believe today God has sent us here today to encourage you that He has a favor for you. He has an assignment for you. He's not finished with you yet. And He wants to say, if I can use an ex-Muslim, an Iranian, married to a Mormon, bring him to Israel to show my glory through, then I can use you. I can use you. I can use you. That's the encouragement I'm going to leave with you today. I also believe that there's a power in asking God for healing. There is healing power here today. Healing for your bodies, healing for your minds, healing, whatever type of healing that you need today. God has gifted my wife with the gift of healing. We have, like I said, many hundreds of people that have gotten healed just through prayer and faith, believing, asking, believing, confessing, declaring, expecting a healing, and they get healed. Combine our faith with their faith. And I believe God today wants to heal people in this place. If your faith is strong enough to believe, to say, I am here today, if what I spoke to you, then I want you to come up here. Let us pray over you. A blessing of favor and a prayer of healing. If that's you, come on up here. I'm not going to drag it out because my time is up. Don't miss your moment. If this is your moment, come on up here.
I just shared with them a Greek word of the diastomos. Di means to, stomos means mouth. And how there is a prayer time that we are about to do over you, this praying over you, and that the Lord will begin to resonate within your spirit, that there will be a word that He will give you, that rhema word, right, as we're praying. And with that rhema word, that there is power in that word. There is opportunity in that word. That's the word that the Lord kept sharing with me this morning as I was praying. Opportunity, opportune time. And that as we begin to pray over you and you allow the Lord to speak within your spirit, that word. And that word that the Lord has given you has come directly from the mouth of God. There's one word, one mouth. And as it begins to resonate within your spirit, starts in your head, goes to your heart, and then it goes down to your spirit. And so that word I want you to remember, and then as you begin to look it up in the Bible, and it begins to resonate deep within you, you begin to walk in that. And as you begin to walk in that, you begin to speak it out as well. And that becomes two mouths. The power of God. The authority over what you have need of right now. The power, the might of God. And so as we begin to pray, open your ears spiritually to what the Lord would say to you right now. We thank Him right now for what He is about to do. That healing in your body, in your mind, in a situation, in a relation, maybe it's financial, whatever it is, whenever we have need of, it is healing in our lives. So we just thank you, Father, for what you're doing right now. The mighty hand of God that is upon you, that there is healing in this house. Thank you, Lord.
We speak words of healing over your body, over your spirit, over your mind. Oh, the miracle, the miracles. Oh, you are the right person for that miracle. You're in the right place, and this is the right time for this miracle to occur. In this season, season of miracles, Hanukkah, season of miracle, may your oils never run out. May your strength never run out. May that healing that you receive today would be everlasting. This favor that you're receiving today would be like that oil that will not run out. The oil did not run out until the widow ran out of jars. I pray God will give you extra jars, that you would keep the favor. He would enlarge your territories. He'll give you divine appointments wherever you go. As you are getting healed, I pray God you would give them healing hands. That these hands would become healing hands. As they lay hands on the people, their faith, combined with the other people's faith, would receive the healing. That you would use them as your servants. That these hands would become the hands that serve you. As they open their mouth and speak it. As they ask, believe, confess, declare, they expect a miracle that comes only from you. And Lord, that you would use their mouths to speak greater things. That you would use their mouths to speak hope to others. That you would give them a testimony unlike they have ever had. Because they are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. So, Father, you've done your part. Now, give them their testimony. Give them their divine appointments. That they will touch other people's lives. People that never even think about that you're going to give divine appointments to. The most unlikely people. Lord, you brought the most unlikely person here today to give them hope that there is no such thing. Even the most unlikely people that you put in their path is an occasion for a miracle. If they believe that they are the right person, that you are directing them to the right place, and they wait upon your Holy Spirit for the right time, let them see that miracle. We just thank you. We thank you for this church. God, I pray a special anointing upon this church, upon pastor, and his wife, his family, his children, his grandchildren, the associate pastors, the people that call this place home. Father, I pray there would be such a strong sense and the presence of the Holy Spirit as people walk by this building. They would be drawn to come in. To come in. They wouldn't know why, but they would say, I just want to come in. Father, we pray that you would bring the Gentiles, you would bring the Jews, you would bring the Arabs, you would bring, truly, Lord, this is an international house of prayer. Bring him in, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray a special blessing of favor and multiplication anointing upon the congregation, upon their finances, upon their anointing, upon their influence here in the city. And as they are stepping out, going into the other nations, God, Africa, Niger, all the different places, that their influence will be multiplied throughout the nations. And we be careful to give you all the glory, praise, and honor for what you're about to do in this place through your servants, God. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a strong sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Pastor, however you want to close this, whatever.
Well, we've learned that God can't be put in a box. And if our God is so small that we come to expect only limited results, we need to expand our view. And wonderful to hear the testimony and how God used a Muslim to challenge the nations. And thank you for coming, for braving in this season. I know it wasn't easy to make the decision to come with all the tension that is between his former nation and our nation. But you came, and you've been a blessing to us. Let's continue this attitude of prayer and his presence, and we can bless one another and see God's hand heal and restore one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for what you've done here, what you want to yet do. You want to use us in a marvelous way. And Father, we pray that you'll take this gospel out of these four walls and into the world through each one of us as we bear witness to your greatness. And Lord, help us to believe for great and mighty things which we know not of. And we'll give you the praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Greet one another and just minister and bless one another and see God's work continue to act and be mightily present. Amen.